You're listening to episode 220 of Women Worldwide. There are many passionate advocates out there who empower women. Some are coaches, some are corporate leaders. I've got a guest today who's built an online platform that's supportive and educational, and she's on a mission to help women find their inner confidence and beauty. Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Women Worldwide. Now, I've got my guest in the green room, so I'm going to ask her just to hang on for 1 second because I just want to give you a Women Worldwide update before we dive into our topic and introductions. We have new friends in Kenya, Portugal, and Colombia. So a big shout out to our friends and members of our network. Thank you for helping us to grow Women Worldwide. And thank you to everybody in the United States and around the world. You're really showing our guests who come on the show a lot of love. You're amplifying their stories and you're helping to power up their voices. But most of all, what you're telling us is that they're helping you. We're hearing from listeners that the guests who come on the show are giving really good advice, that you are finding your purpose, you're powering up your own voice, and most of all, you don't feel alone. So we're in this together. Okay, let's get to our guest and topic. Today, joining me on the show is Carlise Sotelo-Moore. Carlise is a co-founder and CEO of Wigs.com. Carlise has been working very hard with her team since 1999, and she has built one of the largest online wigs retailers in the world. And Carlise is a passionate advocate for women. The platform that she and her team have built is supportive, it's convenient, and it's educational for those who are new to alternative hair. Carlise also helps to empower women to find their inner confidence and beauty. She's regarded as one of the world's wig experts, and she's going to share her journey with you. So, Carlise, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Hi, Deirdre. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, I mentioned a little bit about in the beginning, 1999, you started Wigs.com. And I always like to start off asking, is this your first entrepreneurial venture? How did you get started?
Not my first venture. I think I've been doing it since I was a kid, polishing and selling rocks to the neighbors. And so just always kind of the entrepreneurial spirit. But in this particular instance, I got started by really helping write business plans and noticed that the niche markets were wide open, especially online, wide open, weren't represented well. And so the goal was to get 10 niche markets and have the manufacturer directly ship from the factory or from the manufacturer to the client. And to make a long story really short, Wigs was one of those markets. And it was the perfect timing and it was so needed because such an intimate purchase. And you just can't go to the local store and buy a wig. In many towns, there is no place that they sell them. So it was very needed and very much an education. It needed education to get the client to purchase the right thing. And so it was so ready for us. It just became really the only thing we focused on. So alternative hair turned out to be the only thing we focused on.
That's amazing. I mean, they say that the best entrepreneurial ventures are the ones that solve the need, the problem. That's if somebody right. needs something, then right. it is going to take off. And, you know, Carlies, I know this from previous conversations, but you have said that there were entrepreneurs in your family. So I think you mentioned your dad and yes. your grandfather.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. what did you learn from them that has helped you?
Well, you know, you grow up seeing your parents and grandparents kind of running the show, running their own business, and they would pull us in there and we'd help. And I think you just grow up, you know how many lawyers, their kids grow up to be lawyers like them or doctors. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It's just part of who we were. We just had a business and it didn't turn off at 5 o'clock. You just
no.
went with it. And that's just something I always just knew I would do.
So hard work never scared you. Let's put it that way.
No. Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. And plus, you have a little bit more control in improvements and things you feel might sometimes you can go to your boss and say, hey, I've got this great idea. And it doesn't always get implemented. And, you know, when you own your own, the onus is on you to figure out how to improve and further the business. So I liked that part.
Yeah, no, that is such a great part. So aside from that, are there other parts about being an entrepreneur that you love? And what does it feel like to empower women every single day?
Oh, I love empowering our team. There's men and women. There's mostly women, of course, by nature of the product. But I just love empowering the team. And when you empower your team to feel like they have a say and control in what they do, the passion that they have for what they do is exponentially better. And that's the part that I really love, because the client base here really needs us. And I think we all like to feel needed, right? And so that something about the team here knows that and they feel that. And it helps them. They're really empowering themselves, but by way of how we do it here, it really just drives it. Such a passionate team. And I love that. It's my favorite thing about what we've built here.
That's fantastic. Do you think that was something that happened early on, you know, empowering your own team? Or is there something specific that you were doing as an entrepreneur? If you could give tips to other entrepreneurs out there.
You know, I'm not sure if it's something, I think it's probably a combination. Everybody I interview, I ask, give me one word to describe yourself. It's very interesting that when you can only pick one, what comes with that. Mine would most definitely be passionate, and I look for that same personality trait. So I think, you know, like-minded people just kind of start to come together. And in this particular industry, you really do need that. And so I just think I tend to choose people that are like that. I also feel that we work harder for something that we feel ownership over. And so by way of knowing that, everybody really has control over what they do here. For the most part, they feel responsible. And I think that does empower people. So I think it's just a culmination. I like those kind of, I'm drawn to that type of person. So we usually hire that type of person.
Yeah, I remember being asked a question once, can you teach people to be passionate? And it's a really interesting question. I always said that it's not that passion can be taught. Passion is within, and you can always help to draw it out. So if you have passionate people, they're just drawing out more and more of their passion together. And that's what really makes people gel, and you get that strong culture.
True. I think so too. I think everybody has passion in them. You just have to, there's a trigger for all of us.
Yes.
Some things will make us be more passionate than others. And I do think that everybody has it in them. You just have to figure out what sparks it.
Exactly. What about, as an entrepreneur, we always talk about stepping out of your comfort zone. There's risk involved. There's things that you're doing that might be challenging you. Do you feel in the beginning when you were first an entrepreneur that you were stepping out of your comfort zone more, or is it more today? How does that look?
I always feel like I'm out of my comfort zone, Deidre, but probably way more in the beginning, because you're just not sure. The honest truth is that many people I would tell that what we were doing was like, huh, wigs, that's interesting. Okay. And so you kind of started to question yourself a little bit too. And it's at the beginning, you haven't achieved success yet. And so inevitably you question, hey, is this the right thing? Fortunately for us, we have experienced success and every year gets better and better. And so we're really blessed to live under that type of growth pattern. So the stepping out of the comfort zone isn't quite as prevalent as it was in the beginning, but it's way more important now to be out of our comfort zone. And so really thankful that we as a team are really good about pushing ourselves past what we always do or what feels comfortable or how. So it's that pushing the envelope to get better and increase, and from the feedback we get, change and make improvements is something we focus on. So we're more mindful of being out of our comfort zone now.
Right. And I'm sure that as you're working together, you're getting out of your comfort zone. And, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, you're building this online platform that's really helping women. What's some of the feedback that you're getting from women who either are curious about wigs? And I know you have other products. It's wigs, it's toppers, it's hair extensions. What is it, more people curious? Is it more people for the health need or people who have alopecia? Who's coming to you? What are they saying?
So our market is, it consists of course, the medical. And when I say medical, I mean chemotherapy. There are unfortunately several drugs that treat certain things that will make you lose your hair. Alopecia is on a scary rise. Unfortunately, really? It's not something that's super clear as to what exactly. I mean, the suspicion is, of course, stress. I do think a lot of what we're putting into our bodies and breathing in is just not doing us any favors.
Right.
Alopecia's up. Hair loss in general. Women are losing, men and women, but in right. our case, we're very focused on women. Women are losing their hair now we always lose somewhere around 80 to 90 hairs a day.
That many?
Yeah, isn't it weird?
That
yeah.
is so weird.
I know.
Do you notice this? I mean, I wonder if I'm going to notice this now.
You brush your hair, you know, you'll look in your car, you'll find them, right? And we normally grow that back at that same rate. So you're kind of on par with what you're losing, you're gaining back. In our 10, 15 years ago, it was in our 40s. Now, maybe it was 20 years ago. Now you're in your 30s and that production starts going down and down and down. And so you're still losing that hair, but you're not producing it quite as quickly. And then layer in stress, layer in diets or what have you. There's all kinds of things that even make it go faster. So now you've got women in their late 30s already thinning, right? And so that brings people to us. Now, the celebrities and people that are high profile, they're talking about it. It's because of the technology, the honest truth is I forgot this morning that I was doing this, or I would have most definitely worn a wig because I love it and I would have taken it off for you, but they're so beautiful and so well made. And here in the front, you can go like this and get really close and you won't really be able to tell. You saw when we were.
Yes. That's amazing.
Philadelphia. And so it's just amazing how they have changed so that you really can't tell who's wearing a wig. And celebrities and people of notoriety, they embrace that. because you can, I mean, maybe you want to be redhead and short one day and long and blonde the next. You can do that in a way that you never could before with wigs. But once the celebrities get in it, and the older celebrities and the younger celebrities, now the rest of us common folk, we feel like it's okay to do that. So that's also bringing the person with hair. I have plenty of hair, but I still wear wigs all the time because, I mean, who doesn't want a perfect hairstyle in 3 to 5 minutes and non-chemical, non-commitment way to completely change color and style? And so you're seeing just a culmination of a bunch of different groups coming together now. And I think the what I call the ick factor is really going away with wigs. I think back in the day, the quality wasn't that great. So you could tell. I remember looking over my mom's counter and seeing what I thought was like a squirrel tail on there, wearing the hairpiece, right? And so, but now they're beautiful. They look, right. Act just like human hair. So it's unfortunately, it's a lot of medical, a lot more than we'd like to see.
Sure.
Because people are also living longer now with cancer but the effects are detrimental to the hair. But they're fun. They're fun to experiment with and play with. And I mean, I love redheads, my favorite by far, but I can't go get it. I'd be there at the hairdresser every 4 or 5 weeks getting it re-chemicaled.
Exactly.
But with the wig, I don't have to.
It's just it's a fun way to express yourself. I know. I remember seeing, it was either a Glamour or a Cosmopolitan magazine article about, I think it was a journalist who put on a wig every day for a week to mimic her favorite celebrity, just to see how it would feel. So she had on a wig, I think it was Kylie Jenner, had that almost, I want to say, like a gray color with a purple braid and streak in it. And she wore that one. She looked like Katy Perry one day. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, to talk about, there is a real need because of women who have serious health challenges, but also this also feeling of, I can be, I can look, I can feel empowered, you know, expressing myself through my hair, through a wig.
Yeah, it's truly like an accessory. And I do think more and more people are understanding that. I'll walk in my closet one day and I'll think, oh, I'm going to wear this outfit. I'm like, oh, that would look great with a little blonde wig. And it's starting to become like your shoes or like,
right.
And it's fun. It really is fun. Unfortunately for those women who have to wear it because they're forced to, they've lost their hair. I think that they probably don't get to experience the fun initially because
right.
Nobody wants to be forced to do anything. So it changes the motivation a little bit, but it still is so much fun. And we have lots of clients who no longer need it that started for medical reasons that still continue because you just get spoiled. You've got perfect hair in an instant and that makes a difference in your day.
Absolutely. And now, Carly, you're doing some work with charities too. So wigs.com does partner to make sure that your platform, your educational videos. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, right now our biggest partner is breastcancer.org, and we are working with them. Anybody who purchases on our website has the opportunity to either round up their change or add whatever they want to that sale and give to breastcancer.org, which is an amazing charity. And we are helping with informational videos and really just to help answer questions that so many women don't know and don't realize about wigs. But for me, my personal charities that I love are always charities related to kids. There's Children with Cancer is a great charity. There's an Alex's Lemonade Stand that we work with every year. We do a lemonade stand. Love them. So we really look for opportunities. It's for me, the heartstrings is the children that are these little girls mainly that are dealing with hair loss for whatever reason, usually medical, just doesn't, it's hard enough for us as adults to right. deal with no hair. It's really tough. It's tough for the kids to do it. And so we have a heart for that.
That's so good. Now that is wonderful to hear. And, you know, Carlise, I think at this point, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to shift over to focus on our sponsor for today's show, which is Rutledge Publishing. Rutledge Publishing is actually one of the leading academic publishers in the world. And they also happen to be my publisher of my last book, Answers for Modern Communicators, A Guide to Effective Business Communication. Here it is. And my book is, Carlise, I don't know if you're aware, but it's a Q&A book. So I curated all of these questions that business professionals and communicators were asking me, and I answered them in the book. There's over 150 of them. So I thought it would be fun, in the spirit of our sponsor, Carlise, if I ask you a question. Out of the book.
Okay.
So are you ready?
Yes.
Let's see. So your question is number 148. What skills do you need to get noticed?
So personally, I think it's important to find a way to be of value, right? Whether if this is being noticed on a business level but I'm going to take that as a business level, right? Find a way to be of value. Of course, you have to put yourself out there first, right? But find a way to be of value. And I would say not to be afraid to be unique. So many of us want to just kind of fit ourselves into that little be what we think we should be. And that really isn't going to get you noticed because you're really not being yourself. And so so many of us just need that freedom to feel that we can be unique. For some of us, it's easy to go way off the deep end on unique. But so I don't mean, you know, wear pink feathers and flap your wings and walk around. But I mean be unique as in just be yourself. Don't be who you think you're supposed to be. And I think that gets you noticed because you feel comfortable in who you are. And if you find, I would say the number one thing is just to find a way to be of value, to make a difference, be valuable. And right. How do you not get noticed that way?
Exactly. No, that's a great answer. I like what you said about be unique, because if you don't bring your authentic self, then you're of no value because it's not real. And That is hard. It's hard for people in general, I think, to be vulnerable. Because when you're vulnerable, you are authentic. And then everything flows from there. So that's a really good answer. So thank you. And a thank you to Rutledge Publishing for sponsoring.
Thank you, Rutledge Publishing.
Okay, so let's dive into our second segment. And our conversation. So we sort of left off the entrepreneurial journey. We talked a little bit about what you loved about being an entrepreneur, your team, how they're motivated. We talked about breastcancer.org, the amazing collaboration that you have with them. Let's pivot to find out a little bit more about some of your learnings over the years. As an entrepreneur, is there anything that you've learned about yourself that might surprise you? Like when you were younger, you didn't know you had it in you. And now you look back and you're like, wow, I did that. Or I can't believe I did that.
Huh. That's a really good question.
It's not an easy question.
That's a really good question. So the first word that comes to mind is my stick-to-itiveness. Surprised me in this. So it's 19, going on 19 years in. I've been a gypsy at heart. I, you know, growing up, it was one shiny thing after the other. And I would start and love some project and get it going and, you know, get it moving and then go, oh, okay, now I want to do that. And so I've traveled, I've lived in different countries. I've, you know, very gypsy spirit. And so the stick-to-itiveness has surprised me. But I fell in love. I fell in love with the client base that we serve. And so it doesn't surprise me, knowing, of course, that passion is my word, that I fell in love, and that's why I've stuck to it. But that has surprised me the most. And that's really what you need for, I think, anything to be successful, is that stick-to-itiveness is important, because it's not always easy. But if you're there, you get through it.
It's true. They say a lot of entrepreneurs are, they start with something and they move on to the next thing, or then they quickly jump to something else. Having that, I don't know, it sounds like what you're doing is just a part of your DNA, mm-hmm. that it allows you to focus and to let your passion loose, which is wonderful. It really shows. So the passion and the stick-to-itiveness go together hand in hand. I hope I said that word, word right. As far as, you know, everybody has moments of, aha, I get it, or, uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Are there any moments that stand out for you throughout your journey where you kind of feel like, wow, I get this business thing, or, oh no, this is a challenge?
My the aha moment that comes to mind is, for several years in the beginning, we decided what we wanted to, we decided what we wanted to show people, how we wanted to present what we were presenting, how we wanted to come across. We decided what the client needed, right? And probably about 4, maybe 5 years ago, it was an aha moment I think we put out a big survey, and it was an aha moment for me that I can't decide what they need. I have to listen to what they need. And it really changed a lot of how we did our videos, how we did our photography, even the platform, the website that we used. So yes, I thought that I knew better for so long. And that aha moment was that I really, it doesn't matter what I like, if I like this color or that color or what I think is right. The aha moment was that the best success was going to be in listening to what the client really needed. And Steve Jobs said, they don't know what they want until we show them what they want. There's an arrogance in that person that wants to serve. Ironic that it's an arrogance in a person that wants to serve, but that wants to serve that they think, oh, this, I know what the client wants or needs. I don't think that you can fully hit it out of the park until, of course, Apple did. So I'm going to have to, they did a great job and I would aspire to be that successful. But the truth is that without really listening to the client, I think you'll just miss some things.
Absolutely. And it's very personal when it comes to what you're doing and who you're serving and how you're serving them. The choice of the wig that they're going to put on their head, or the topper or the hair extension, whatever it is, that is an extremely personal item. So it could be different than Apple and Steve Jobs, but listening, I love that from a communications standpoint. That makes me really happy. And that is a game changer for any business that can really take the time to listen. So I'm glad that you did that survey and that it changed things for you. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you about being a woman in business. So everybody has challenges. Do you think that as a woman, there are more challenges, less challenges today? How are you feeling about being a woman in business?
I think they're just different challenges. I think they're different challenges. You know, for me, I started this business as a single mom. Shortly thereafter, a single mom. And the juggling of whether you're a single or married, now I'm married, but whether you're single, but it doesn't matter. Just the juggling, right? As a woman, we have a tendency usually to have more roles that we have to tend to in different ways. So I think the challenges are a little bit different. I I believe, and this isn't a blanket statement, but I believe in general women manage differently than men do. I think that, okay, this might get me in trouble, but I think that women have usually a little bit higher emotional quotient, right? There's an emotion. I do think that, but I think it changes how they manage, in a way that is positive, but also takes a lot more, drains a lot more emotionally. And so I think that there are challenges in that way. I think for women in general, the hope I would have is just that more of us would step out there. There's just not enough of us. And we are absolutely just as qualified, and in several industries more qualified than men to run a business. Again, not a blanket statement, but in general, but I think so many of us don't feel either worthy or risky enough or gutsy enough to get out there, or the obstacles are put in front of us in a way. I don't know if this is true anymore, but several years back, women were not loaned the money at the same rate as men were to start businesses. So that's a challenge too, because you have to kind of come up with that plan in a different way than if you were just, you know, a man wanting to start a business. And so I just think for women that we just need to get out there more. There aren't enough of us out there. I can't prove this. I don't know. And I haven't seen a study, but I imagine that women have such a, because of the way we operate, I bet you there's a better stick rate for their employees. We have a great rate here. People stay. It's more of a, it's such a team feeling. And again, it's not that men can't generate that kind of an environment, but I just think that I think that the business world would be served well if more women would get out there and own or try, whether they succeed or not, at least try. They don't try at the same rate as men do.
Right. Well, sharing these stories certainly help. Any of you listeners or if you're watching on YouTube and you're thinking about taking that leap as a business owner, there's lots of women who are there to mentor and to share stories. And yes, there are challenges, but certainly success and a lot of gratification as well.
You know, go for it.
Go for it. It's so worth the leap. And I don't know if the, you know, I've heard stories in general about getting funding. I remember one guest, Carly's made me laugh really out loud because she said it was like getting a colonoscopy when she was trying to get funding for her business. It was like 40 days of 40 colonoscopies. I thought, oh my goodness. Well, you know, of course something like that is going to stop anyone from wanting to take that sure. risk. But I love hearing that there isn't that turnover. There's something about the way the culture has come together, and you know, whether it's your emotional intelligence rubbing off on everybody in your team, it's keeping you all together. So that's really good. You know, you mentioned that you were a solo parent at one time. I was too. And I remember that, you know, having a network around me was really important. Did you rely on a network of people, an inner circle for advice or insights to sort of guide you? Or do you even do that today?
Yes and yes. I have an amazing group of women. We call our go-to girls, and they've been with me for years and years and just such a great base. And then I had a best friend for 8 years who I subsequently wound up marrying last year. So, you do need a network and people to bounce things off of. And for those of us who are business owners, there are, you know, networks out there that really can help you, kind of work through and bounce ideas off of, you know, YEO, Vistage. There are things that you can connect yourself with that can help you feel more confident or learn things that you didn't know before. But Absolutely. I think if the answer to that question is you don't have that, I think you're probably in danger in some form or fashion, and right. you may want to do something about that.
Absolutely. You mentioned two organizations. Could you just elaborate on just what they are, Vistage and YEO?
YEO. So any of these, the entrepreneurial groups, or Vistage is a CEO group.
Okay.
It just connects people of different industries together so that they can have a way to bounce ideas and strategies and action plans and thoughts That's with each good. Other. Just networking groups in general. Every city and state has different ones, but just to look for that is really important, because sometimes we, especially when you're kind of at the top level, when you don't have to answer to somebody else, you are in danger of just, there's that cute commercial where you think you're in a groove, but you're really in a rut, oh. right? And you think, oh, well, I've done this way and it works. But if you're not bouncing off of anybody else, you don't have anybody else to answer to, it makes it easy to stagnate.
Right.
And so places where you can go, or groups around you, people around you that kind of push you to evaluate or grow are really important.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for finding your tribe. I'm in a mastermind group, which, mm-hmm. you know, is so helpful.
I hear that's awesome.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You know, you could be in business for so many years, but there's always a better way. There's always somebody who can share a unique perspective on what you're doing. And it just helps. It helps so much. You know, I wanted to also talk a little bit about education and continuing your own learning, because your Forbes article, you were one of three women who were disruptors, right, in their industries. And in order to be a disruptor, you have to be ahead. So where do you go for learning? How do you keep learning so that you can stay ahead for all the people you serve?
That's a really good question. I sometimes feel like I don't do that enough, but you know, this industry is relatively small. Well, most niche markets are, but it's a small industry. And so I really just voraciously eat up anything that I can find, whether it's online, to the manufacturers. I'm planning / hoping to go to one of the factories here in the next year. I just really take it wherever I can get it. Oddly, from our own clients, I learn huge from there too. We have communities and groups that I get to kind of peek in on and learn from there. But
that's great.
You just find it wherever you can find it.
Absolutely. So what does a day in your life look like? Seriously, do you know what to expect every day when you go into the office, or is it just a new experience every single day?
I mean, not always. I don't always know what to expect, and it's not always a new experience, but sometimes it is. So there's some things that are very planned out and scheduled. But then just life happens, right? So what I love about what I do is I really get to engage with all aspects of this company. So, you know, the fulfillment center in Kansas City, the call center here, the marketing department, the production, the videos, the photography, there's different things every day. And sometimes I really get the privilege of kind of going from one to the other. I'm really thankful that I have such an amazing team, and the leaders of each little department really kind of have it. So it affords me the opportunity to kind of go where I'm needed, or even if I'm not needed, go in different places each day or week. So it does look different often, but it is also very planned. We kind of run the website a little like a magazine, in that we change the theme and the focus every month. So that makes it lots of fun too.
Oh, it sounds fun. And having a good team, that's exactly what you need so that you can be where you need to be and the day to day and things are being handled by all those team members in the different areas. Okay, so we're actually up to the advice part of the show. We're in the home stretch. Carlies, what advice can you offer to all of those Women Worldwide listeners and the people who are watching on YouTube about growing a business and really just creating a team that's so passionate to move things forward?
So, I mean, I think we've had smatterings of advice through this whole thing. I would just say really, it's hard to say follow your passion. I don't believe in following your heart as much, because the heart sometimes is a little idol making machine. But following your gut, I think we do have really good instincts for the most part if we listen. You know, of course, just the bumper sticker stuff, right? Never giving up and making a difference, and these things, they sound trite, but it's true. My dad used to say, if you get paid for doing what you really love to do, you're successful. It doesn't matter how much you get paid. And I really do agree with that. I don't agree with those people that say, oh, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life, because I haven't experienced that.
But, me neither.
No, I haven't. But it is true that if you really feel passionate and good about something and feel like you're making a difference and you're getting paid, I think you're successful. And we so much in this world gauge success as how much money we're earning. And it really isn't about that, because there's some very well-off people that are stinking miserable. And
I don't think happy.
I don't think they're successful because they're not doing what they love to do. They don't feel like they're making a difference. And, you know, but they're banking, but it's not really, I don't think it's the right thing to chase after. And I think the team is probably one of the top three things you need to ensure, that you've got a great team. Sometimes in life we settle for partners, for jobs, for you know, I call it the bachelor syndrome. I don't know if you ever watched The Bachelor, but you want to get the rose, right? So, oh, you're picked, so you're just going to pick back, or you're not even thinking through, is this the right thing for me? So as a employee or an employer, I think it's really smart to look and see, hey, is this the right person for me? Is this the right job opportunity for me? Is this where I really want to be, where I think I can make a difference? If this isn't the right person, don't keep that person. You're doing them a disservice too by keeping them. I tell people all the time, I will help you find another job if this isn't the right spot. But you want people that really want to pull up their sleeves and kind of pull with you. And life's just really short. And we spend most of our day at work and in our bed. So our 24 hours is spent in our bed and in our work. That's kind of sad to say, but that's where we spend most of our time. And so both places you should feel good about being. You should get yourself a really good bed and really love what you do.
Best thing you ever did. Here's a plug.
Exactly.
Really good bed.
Oh yeah. So I just think that so many of us settle. And it's not necessary.
No, Carlies, that is such great advice. Don't settle. Okay, last question. Super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Wigs.com?
Well, they can go to Wigs.com and just look. I mean, I'm really convinced that so many women don't really get how easy wigs can make your life, and whether it's just for fun or because you need it. I just think there's so many of us who walk around not feeling confident about what we look like. Of course, the dramatic losing all your hair forces you to, but there's so many of us that are not there, but still in a place where alternative hair could make the hugest difference. And the stigma is not for the younger group, it's gone. right? For those of us who are, for those of us who are a little bit older in the older group, they still have that stigma because there's some old planted ideas that we still haven't rooted out.
But or what we saw when we were younger, like you mentioned, peeking over and seeing something that looked like a squirrel
tail. Yes,
exactly.
And so just go and check it out and have fun with it. It's really fun. And if we can see it all as an accessory, it makes a difference. It can make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey as an entrepreneur and all of your tips and advice. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of you for tuning in and watching Women Worldwide. We appreciate you. Don't forget, keep the feedback coming. We love hearing how the stories are helping you. And if you have a moment, if you're on iTunes, please rate us. Go to Twitter. Give us a shout out there. We'd love to hear how you're feeling on Facebook too. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.